I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me £5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Rugby weekly.
Little reverse pass.
You are very welcome to a special episode of the 42 Rugby Weekly podcast. For so many people involved in rugby across the country, it's the most wonderful time of the year. This weekend at the Aviva Stadium and up and down the land, the AIL season will reach its climax with title deciders, promotion relegation playoffs, and an all-round celebration of the cornerstone of rugby in this country. Murray Kinsella looks effervescent. How are you feeling, Murray?
I'm excited. It's a big weekend, as I say, for so many people and so many clubs. And there's so many different stories in each of these playoffs and promotion and relegation battles. It's cool having the double header in the Aviva Stadium with the women's final between Bows and Railway Union as well on Sunday, live on TG Carr again. So anyone who can't make it along is going to be able to tune in and follow on TV. So it's a big weekend. You're right. There's loads always going on in the pro game, but it's been another really encouraging, heartening season of high quality rugby in the AIL, and I think we're going to get some cracking deciders this weekend, Gav.
At Lansdowne Road on Sunday, Terenure seek back-to-back Division 1A titles when they face Cork Conn. The men from Ballintemple back in the big show for the first time since 2019, and we are delighted to be joined by a couple of legends of those two clubs. Our first guest has been quintessential to Terenure's rise over the past 25 years and more. Initially as head coach, more recently as director of rugby at a club that is now packing 4,000 people into its Lakelands home ground. Some of you may know him as Moggy. We're going to call him Ian Morgan for the moment. Ian, you're very welcome. How are you doing?
Good. Great, Gavin. Thanks for having us on. It's a pleasure to be in. It's great. Very exciting week for everybody, for both clubs. And in particular, if the rugby is anything like it was last weekend across the divisions, it was a fantastic weekend for rugby. And even the Division 1B matches right down to Sligo and UL Bows having a very exciting finish down there with the conversion from the touchline being taken twice and stuff like that. So it was a fascinating weekend, and it's really exciting to be, and we're blessed that we're back in the final.
We are equally delighted to be joined by a man who first pitched up to Cork Conn in the 1960s. He has played, he has coached, he's been a selector, he's been club president. His son, the current Ireland captain, has billed him as part of the furniture at Temple Hill. And indeed, he is so synonymous with this club that he's known across Cork City and its suburbs simply as Conn John. John O'Mahony, you are very welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. After an introduction like that, you don't know what to say to you. But yeah, I appreciate the invitation. It's lovely to be able to represent the club and that. You know, as has been said, it's that time of the year when, you know, we're at the business end of things, and it's a wonderful thing to be representing the club here. But for the club to get to the final in the Aviva and that, it's what it's all about, really, isn't it? It's what the club set out in August in pre-season and what have you, with an ambition to get there, and that's what we've done so far. Happy days.
John, that was some game against Clontarf, wasn't it?
Listen, you know, I think as Irish people collectively, we've been appreciative of the good weather we've had recently, but that's just in general terms. But there's no doubt in my mind, at least, that it contributes to the quality of play on the pitch as well. You know, guys are running on a firm sod with a dry ball. You know, the ball sticks to hand, it goes to hand. It's it produces a quality of rugby that, you know, is very difficult to replicate in the depths of winter when everything is sodden and what have you. So, you know, it's multiple benefits. It attracts big crowds, the buzz in the clubs. You know, it's all positive, definitely, Gavin. It's a wonderful time of year to be involved, you know.
Ian, you've had some wonderful days at Terenure, particularly last year and indeed over the years, but where does that Aaron Egan kick rank among your glory days involved with the club?
It was a special moment for Aaron as well to do it. We actually played Lansdowne in the Senior Cup final early on the season. We had a kick to win it, which we didn't get, and it went to extra time and we lost to Lansdowne. So for Aaron himself, it was fantastic. And We've had a couple. Keelan has certainly kicked a few points for us over the years to get us over the line. And I did, at that stage of the game, I'd Lansdowne probably were in the ascendancy coming up to the final whistle. And I think extra time may have taken it, would have probably favoured them, to be perfectly honest, because they came back really strong and they played some great stuff. So it's great to, yeah, it just shows you how tight the games are. Like those two finals, like that semi, I'm on maths, wasn't exactly honours maths, but the amount of points scored in both games, but the difference between was less than a score. And I know in most of the league games this year, Lansdowne finished with 18 or 19 bonus points. I know Conn have got a point in every game they've played, whether they've, you know, obviously they've won most of them. So the games throughout the season this year, like I was delighted that the semi-finals were so good, but the quality of rugby all season that we have had with all the teams has been fantastic. And, you know, I've no hasn't, and the work the players put in is phenomenal, and the coaches and all the clubs. So it just happens that the two teams have got there, you know, have just got through by their skin of the teeth in a lot of games this season. And that just shows you what the product is, really, because there's a number of clubs who could have been in this final this year that we played against. And it just happens we've managed to turn around the last few matches and get over the line very tightly in a good few games. So it's really exciting.
An incredible few years, as Gav said, Ian. Like, take us inside the club. Why is this happening now? And I'm sure there's so much work over the years, but recently, the last few years, Terranure have kind of kicked on. As we've said, a massive crowd again last weekend. People are probably seeing the scenes from last season celebrations. But why have things kind of stepped up such a notable degree for Terranure?
Well, the reality is the players have come. You know, they've graduated through the school. We've been fortunate enough with our with the players we have and attracting players to join us, particularly with the connection with the school. And it's our coaching has improved. Like, the one thing I've always said about a club, if you have guys, if you can field four or five teams, we've six teams every year, you will get there eventually. You know, it's and you don't have to panic. Like, you know, we've had very exciting seasons and we haven't managed to get to the stages we're getting in the last couple of years. And I do think the confidence it has brought and the buy-in from the under sixes, from our Tigers, from everybody in the rugby community, it's been fantastic. And, the players are living a dream in a way, but they do work extremely hard. And they do in every club. They sacrifice a lot job-wise and time-wise to commit to it, because I know it's not a professional league or anything like it, but they do put in a huge amount of time on the pitch. And for us as a club it's once you get on the rabbit wheel and when you get going, it's great. And every season, we still have started off again, but our players have been incredible. Like there's a certain turnover from last year's final, particularly in the back line. You know, I think we've got Alan Benny who played last year. Adam LeGrew played. I think that's it from the starting back line that's playing this year. So it's good that with a couple of lads are injured, Colm and Stephen. So I think it's great. The club have been brilliant, but the players are the ones who bring it onto the pitch every week, and they have worked extremely. And the coach, you have Sean, Connor, Andy. You know, they put in a huge amount of time into it, and it's great fun, to be honest, to be involved. And I think if you're enjoying a sport at a club level, you know, you've got a good chance of doing something with it.
Yeah. And people like yourselves, obviously, both of you guys on the call are really the backbone of it as well, though you wouldn't say it yourselves, but people like you guys keeping the club driving from within. And I know it's the same for you, John, in Corcon. I remember Peter saying that you played on until you were a senior player. He mentioned maybe a move from the centre to the second row. Can you confirm how the career finished up?
Confirm or deny nothing, I'm afraid. I'm going to tough end of the stick here, lads, but between my age and nicknames and everything. But no, listen, I was a social player and thoroughly enjoyed every last minute of my time involved as a player and would have continued, but I'm afraid time and tide wait for no man. So listen to me. Everything that has been said there about Terranure is equally true of probably most of the clubs. Where we've driven, and as our current president Pat Toomey mentions regularly, that, you know, urging of young guys who join us at juvenile level just to be the best rugby players they can in the best sense of themselves and that. And very often it comes to fruition. We have, unlike Terranure, we have probably a watershed at under 12 where our juvenile section break up and they go into different schools that are around the city and what have you. But ultimately, we hope that when perhaps they've finished with the secondary schools and the university, they come back and rejoin us. But it's giving it, it's about the holistic experience as much as anything else. And I think, again, every club would verify that simply on the basis of it's about enjoying yourself. The guys that will head to the Aviva next weekend are probably in a very small minority of the overall population playing, and they've fulfilled their dreams. But like a J2 Cup final can be a Heineken Cup final for the right player. And that's ultimately, I think, what all of us are striving for, you know, to get people to enjoy it. And from my perspective, it's possibly one of the areas that rugby is losing out a little bit at the moment. It's that social player. There are not as many teams involved now beneath the seniors, the senior involvement, we'll say. And it's an important aspect of the game, which I don't think the senior sides can survive without. So that's very important as well, Murray.
And because I've had that experience myself, I have to say now, when I kind of stopped, I don't know, not my ambitions ran out, but I said, I'm going to just enjoy this more than actually try and be a kind of high-performing player. I found I struggled to get that kind of satisfaction from the game. How do you, as a club, try and provide that for players? Is it having more stuff off the pitch, or is it how you actually train, or how do you do it?
Whoa, look, it's very difficult to be involved in everything, in anything, I beg your pardon, and be successful if you're not enjoying it. So I think it's a reflection on the club, the coaching staff. You know, Johnny Holland has come in there this year now, and with the guidance over the last couple of seasons of Brian Hickey, we also have the likes of Billy Holland, as you know, Duncan Williams, and we have a great, I think it's one of our strengths, the feedback that we get from guys who've achieved huge success and the things that they can bring to the game, the edge, the insider knowledge, all those things contribute so much. And look, let's be honest as well. Winning is always a huge incentive. And when, you know, the buzz last weekend in Lakelands, in Temple Hill, it's what we live for and that. And, it, you know, winning isn't everything, but it certainly is a contributory factor. And, you know, getting there is part of that as well. The players are having a great time because they're achieving what they want to individually and collectively achieve. And that it's about the players, ultimately. There's no getting away from that, lads. And we're always aware of that. But I think the rest of the club then bask in the reflected glory of what your team is achieving out there at whatever level. It's great to have success, you know. But not to leave out the other aspects of the game as well, which are so important.
And Ian, you seem to have nailed that side, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, we're very fortunate with Terranure, because we field six teams now, and we've a fairly strong rugby committee, and we've always... And what we have is really good guys involved at each level in each team. Like our fifths and our fourths managed to win leagues this year. Now, in fairness, in Leinster, the Metro Leagues it's actually reinvented rugby. We've 10 divisions in Leinster now in Metro Rugby, you know. And we were in Division 10 final. We were in the Division 5 final, and John was saying, that's, you know, winning that a couple of weeks ago, we had, you know, all our team, our first team were at the game, lots of people watched it Friday, and you know, we played Rathdrum in the final, which was, you know, very special for us, because we've had played a good few games with them, and it's a club which only obviously field just one side, and we managed to win. So I think the Metro Leagues, and within that, you have a squad, and you have guys running it, and, you know, we have lots of guys putting in lots of time. Like, it's not a challenge, it's a privilege to have so many guys playing rugby in Terranure. And I do think that And they all, in fairness to all our clubs and all our players, there is a definite social side to our game that we encourage guys to come in after matches. And Millingham, like a lot of the guys who would be involved at the lower levels, would be quite close to a lot of the players who play in the first team and stuff like that. And we, you know, that we're lucky enough that after training, like, our bar is always open. So there's always a few guys around. Unfortunately, a couple of the best ones, like the likes of Bosco Morris, he passed away recently, but there's always people there, and there's always fellas come in, and on a Thursday, there'd be a food and a bit of a laugh and a drink and stuff like that. And I think that has been something that has driven us forward. I know people might think, but if you have people support you, or just conversations with guys within a club who are playing on a lower team or on a higher team, it doesn't really matter. With our lads, they all just muck in together. And that's, I think, the support. And that's coming up. Like, you, our guys will be very good at going down and helping with mini rugby and with the Tigers and stuff like that. So the connection, the club connection is great. And there's, like, there's a Shane Mallon who runs it with the mini and the youths. There's a lot of guys putting in a lot of time. But I keep going back to it, to get involved, but don't get involved if you don't enjoy it. You know, you got to have fun in it, because that's what works. And that's really is a key. And it's, I know it's, would we have the success that we have had without having all the things, the other parts of the club? I don't think we would have. I just think you can get caught. One thing I've never done is panic, because I've been involved in a lot of teams. I've been relegated. And once you don't panic when you're in a situation, because the leagues don't lie in theory. You know, not with the IIL particularly, like, you know, you should see how close it was last weekend. And it probably is fair that Conn and ourselves are probably just about the best two teams in the league. And that's the whole way through. So you find your level in the leagues at all levels. And, like, there's some incredible games have been played. Like, even if you go down to the bottom of 2C, I think Ballinara relegated, but they actually gained a lot of points this season. Like, it's, so the leagues are, the leagues work, okay? There may be decisions have to be made of should there be five divisions for it, because there's a lot of travel involved for certain clubs, but they work. And, you know, the clubs that are putting in the effort, you know, you do get the results out there, the rewards out there. And we're hopefully now and enjoying ourselves at taking on the, you know, the best team that we've come up against this year in Conn on Sunday. And I don't think there'll be more than a kick of the ball in it.
I'd love to talk to you both about how you actually got started with your respective clubs. Like, I didn't mean to age you, John, when I mentioned that your first rocking up to Temple Hill way back. But, like, Cork Conn is a club that's 132 years old. It's named after a newspaper. Like, people often ask me, why is it actually called Cork Constitution? It's a very unusual name for a rugby club. And, I mean, without meaning to labour the point, John, like, you've been involved with the club for a fair chunk of those 132 years. So I'm just wondering how you wound up.
It was named after John, I think, the club, wasn't it?
Cork Institution. But John, how did it begin for you? Like, who brought you up to begin with? How did you wind up being involved with Conn in the first place?
Yeah, God. I my dad brought me up to Conn, Gavin. I didn't live dreadfully far from there and from Temple Hill. As you know, I think Conn originally started out in the Mardyke up where UCC are, and we were sharing grounds, etc. And then with a bit of foresight, the club, some of the forefathers of the club invested in buying land up there, and that, so we moved out to Temple Hill. But to make a long story short, we had, my parents would have been neighbours of people like George O'Connell and Jim O'Shaughnessy and that, who were presidents of Conn in years gone by, and they were wonderful ambassadors and scouts for the club, I suppose. Geez, Gavin, in those days, you could, you know, kids were able to cycle all over the place, and there wasn't any issue about, you know, huge, heavy traffic and that. So he'd round us up and send us all up with his own kids to Temple Hill on a Saturday morning. And that's how I was fortunate enough to be involved there. But it's such a privilege, and I don't know. My kids have been there now. All three of my sons play there. my grandson has started there recently, so it's and they're wonderful institutions, those clubs, and they provide an incredible social service. I think you know, things like sport and clubs were very much things that were missed during COVID and lockdown and all that kind of thing. But as I'm straying off the beaten track here a bit, but they are an invaluable service in society, and are seen to be so, I think, you know.
And the same with yourself, Ian, because I would have become aware of your involvement with Terranure from 2009 when you left Barnhall, which was Trevor Brennan's old club. You took over as head coach. You've gone on to become director of rugby. But did you go to Terranure school? What's the association?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I was in the school. I joined it for the year after I left school. I played in 1985, I think. I know I looked a lot younger. And then I was in Trinity. I've probably have a bit like Tiger Woods. I've a fair few clubs in my bag. I played in Belvo then. And then the Barnhall experience was fantastic. I player coached there and then obviously coached. And we went through the Leinster League and the AIA. We just missed out on Division 1 by points difference to UL Bows, who won, had a big win against Middleton on the last day. I think I'm fairly certain it was 7 match points we lost out by at the end of the league to be promoted to Division 1. And yeah, then it came back. I'd always been involved as much as I would always help out refereeing at a high standard in schools matches and things like that over the years. And I would have done a bit of coaching, but you never, like, Terranure doesn't leave you in a sense. So when I came back, yeah, with Terranure wouldn't have been in a great spot. But a lot of people got together. We did that 2020 vision thing and stuff. And as I keep saying, you put in the work, but if you're enjoying what you're doing and you get the people get involved, it does happen. And, you're not desperate for success. And if you're not desperate for it, you tend to sort of, you can get there eventually. And I think there's a lot of positivity. The school program is very exciting. We've Sean is in there. We've Paul Barr in there. We've got some good con blood there, Sean. Which
you're dead right. The last
dark secrets
was 2018-19, and Paul Barr was on that coaching ticket with Brian Hickey. I think you remember that.
Yeah,
we played Clontarf in the final that day in the Aviva. In fact, we lost our captain in the warm-up, Niall Keneally, that day. Yeah, but Paul's a good guy. I remember him working, again, you were talking about having plenty of clubs. Paul, I remember Paul starting in Bandon. I think he's a Michael's boy originally, isn't he?
Yeah, he went to Michael's, yeah.
And he became involved with us while coaching in Presentation Brothers in Cork. So he worked with some of my kids there as well, and Irish school. So he has some pedigree.
In the school now, obviously there's, you know, that will all transgress, because that's like the soul of Terranure comes from the school and from the minis, and and obviously not everybody goes to the school, and we actually have our first youth team now playing without, you know, from guys from other schools at an under 15 level this year, which is something we're trying to develop outside as well to get guys in, which is good. And it does, we do have, you know, we've a lot of guys from different schools playing in the club now and in different clubs, which is great. And I've always said that the players are always the best recruiters, to be honest, you know, guys of their own age that speak to, what easier to get them across the line. So we've been fortunate with the quality of the people we have involved, and it's great at the moment.
And you're obviously attracting in, like, when you're getting the numbers you're getting now, people who maybe hadn't been going to AIL rugby in the last couple of years. And I come across it all the time, people who maybe got into rugby when they started following Munster, when they started doing well, or Leinster, and they actually maybe didn't even come into the game through a club. But you're having experience now with people who are coming back to AIL rugby. What's the product they're getting? What are they getting when they turn up for the first time? And I, from what I hear, people are coming along and they're going, wow, this is actually pretty amazing. What are they getting when they turn up, Ian?
Well, the one thing that like that COVID, one big value we got out of COVID was we managed to put a big screen in the car park for the Lions. You know that, well, I can't call the Lions in South Africa rugby because it wasn't rugby. It was something that should have been banned after the first test. But we managed to have a screen there. And our car park became a social outlet during COVID with the coffee. And well, obviously when you're allowed to serve a few, or when you weren't allowed, or when you're allowed to serve beer and stuff like that. And that got a lot of people down. And as like that really has that, it's weird having the coffee thing there. A lot of people now are just who would walk through with their dog are now hanging around the place. That would have huge numbers went down to watch those games on the screens. And we just developed it from there. It, like Friday nights became quite popular with a Fiver Friday for people to come in. And it's like the location is fairly decent now, you know. The sun always shines in Lakelands, as that TV show Philadelphia goes by, and you great characters like the Boscos and people around. I think that brought a lot of people in, and the minis. In fairness to the guys involved there, we wouldn't and try and include teams as ball boys, mascots, stuff like that, and encourage people to come down. Like there's a can of Coke and a bag of crisps for every kid, including yourself, Murray, if you come down to one of our games. So it's, the product has to be good. Like, you know, you get at this stage of season and the games are really well supported. It's not like that in September and October, and that's just natural. You know, it does take a little bit of time, and you just have to make sure. But the rugby people see now, I think if anybody goes to a game now, they're hooked. Of watching any of the teams play, and they realize that it's trying to get that perception out there that you don't have to be a member to come down and watch a match. You know, there's still a perception out there that it's, I remember a neighbor of mine just moved in down the road, and he was looking for somewhere to watch one of the Irish games. I said, why do you not go down to the rugby terrier down the road? He said, well, do you not have to be signed in by a member? Like that perception is still there, and it's like the golf club stuff. And I think clubs, you need to be aware of that, because we would try and encourage the local community to come in. Like, but there is things, there's meetings there and stuff like that, but there's still a perception of rugby clubs that we need to get out there, that you can just come down and watch the games. And we would have traffic now because, you know, with the two sisters and all the pubs around, they would all follow Terranure now a lot more. And they would all be, there'd be a connection there. And you'd get people coming down from all the local pubs who come down and watch the matches now. And I do think streaming the games has helped a huge. You know, I think having a stream of a game that people watch, I just think you're getting yourself out there. Like, so nearly 10,000 people watched our game on the stream last weekend. I think there were six watched the Tarf game. Obviously, the double people watch it, but, you know, our club had it on as well. And I think that has worked really well. And, you know, I think that's something that, and the IFU have been very good, they're very proactive in that. Kevin and the guys in the AIL, they do promote the game as much as they can. And I think the streaming thing has really worked. And, you know, having TV there this weekend is another part of it. But it's, if everybody keeps doing what they're doing, and I don't see any club, you cannot get to the level of rugby in the AIL at a number of divisions if your club isn't fairly active and running reasonably well, because but the other clubs are all trying their best. Like you can see the heartbreak for Monkstown when they lost in the last minute a few weeks ago to get into the AIL. And you see what clubs like Ballyclare or Instonians have done since they've come back. You know, there's a huge draw. You know, people might give out about it. There's a lot of people outside who want to get into it. And I think that Monkstown game against Bangor is this weekend as well, and that's a really exciting, and both clubs will be very anxious. And that's the level of commitment and the level of what it means to the players is exactly the same as what will happen when we play Conn on Sunday, and that's the beauty of it at the moment. And I think by yourselves and the IRFU, the more promotion it can be given, and they're it's in a good spot, the league. And the glory days were not always the glory days. There was obviously a difference back then, but it's misty-eyed a lot. There was a lot of games in those days that weren't exciting. I played in a few, and I actually played in it. So they weren't this brilliant challenges. It was like the finals that you would have seen with, you know, the Young Munsters and the Shannons. They were it's like the showpieces now, but they, during the season, the games weren't at the level. I don't think they're at the level they are now. I think the rugby is better. I think the standard is better. I know there would have been the contracted guys involved in it, but I would give any of the teams in 1A, you know, if they had to play an academy stroke second provincial side, I'd give them a chance. And it's become for a lot of players the pinnacle of their careers to play in the AIL rather than to be play as a pro. You know, as a lot of guys are, you know, are in an academy, they drop out of it, and it's okay to play club rugby now, which is really great. And you know, I would, you know, guys like Connor Phillips who've joined us, who was let go by Munster. I think there's a great opportunity for someone to maybe pick him up as a pro, you know. And you'd love to see that, you know, you'd love to see guys go back and get on and stuff. But there's a great camaraderie between the clubs as well. A lot of the players, like, particularly the Irish clubs thing, is a great thing. You know, it gets the guys together from the various clubs. And we would, like, you see the likes of Matt Darcy and Tony Brown retiring at the weekend, who are being incredible servants to the club. And, you know, there'll be a lot of well wishes by all clubs for those guys. So I think the rivalry is there, but I think there's a little bit more camaraderie. Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Everyone's in it together. John, what's your impression of that? The kind of quality of the rugby that's played now and how that's developed?
Well, I think your points were well made in relation to the quality of the product that's essentially on view now when people come to rugby clubs, irrespective of obviously the AIL is the focal point, but I would also agree that the standard of play and that is better these days. And I think part of that is it's just a reflection on natural progression, so to speak, in terms of the science of the whole thing of fitness has improved, coaching techniques have improved, you know, the facilities of things like gym, of video, of footage from matches, and that all contributes to an increased quality of play on the pitch. But even things like, you know, artificial pitches, which means you don't have the type of game where two teams were slugging it out in a mud fest, essentially in torrential rain. That's been obviated by that type of progression. But I would wholeheartedly agree that the AIL in particular, it's ultimately a meritocracy. It's where over the course of a season, you're playing other clubs and you're allocated or losing points, etc. So it's not like the senior cup competitions, for example, or the other competitions in play, where you have an amalgam of all different. You have from 1A down to 2C. It's a difficult setup for smaller clubs to do well in those. But I think, you know, in the nascent days of the AIL, one of the reasons it was set up was because the various clubs in the various provinces were fed up of playing each other. Now, Terenure would be playing Mary's and they might play them three times a year. We'd be playing Dolphin and the Well and that. And we were sick of looking at each other. And there was always, you're like, when you're playing at that level, I always feel there's a drive in these guys to find out, listen, we've heard a lot about Terenure. How good are they? Let's get a friendly up there against them and see, you know, we've progressed well through Munster this season. Let's go and measure ourselves against Terenure next season and we'll see how that can. And ultimately that became the AIL. And I think it's well structured now, Murray, just looking at, you know, Saturday is our game against Terenure is as you know on Sunday, but on Saturday there are a lot of playoff games and all these matches mean something. But it's not just the playoff sections mean something. The way it's structured is that the last games of the series in each division mean something, whether you're going for promotion or a playoff point, or you're looking to prevent yourself being relegated and that. And that is one of the contributory factors when you asked about people, what do they get when they come into Lakelands or into Temple Hill or Castle Avenue, whatever. It's there's great competition in there, and it's been something that the clubs have worked at and worked at well, because I think the progressive clubs are moving all the time. For example, something that's worked really well for us at a level perhaps below, I understand AIL, but Friday night rugby has worked so incredibly well for our J2s. It really has. I alluded to social rugby there, that and at that level, it means the guys can go and play their game on Friday night. They're out with girlfriends, wives, with their buddies or whatever, and they can attend the senior game on Saturday. But it means they have the weekend to themselves, and you know, everything is there then. So you have your social involvement, you have your following your club day for the following days, but you also have time to yourself, and it's a credit to all of the clubs, I think, that they have to keep doing that type of thing, because otherwise they won't survive. And again, I do believe that like Terranure, we have a big social involvement from the community around us. There are very few hours in the week, lads, where Con isn't being utilised between card clubs, between fitness classes and all those things. And they all those people, albeit for different reasons, have a connection with the club. You know, and they end up bringing families there, and they go there. And days like last Saturday were just unforgettable. And it was such great crack, you know, but it's part of the reasons people go there. What entertainment, and the quality of rugby is just outstanding, lads, at the moment. It really is first class.
John, just before we look ahead to the game and let you guys go, you have a unique vantage point as well, in that Peter has been involved with Munster for so long. And back when I was an underage player of yours at Cork Con around 2003, 2004, you would have seen the likes of Jim Williams play on a weekend. And I remember getting Jim Williams' autograph on the pitch at Temple Hill and being absolutely starstruck as a 10, 11-year-old. And it felt like for maybe a decade or so, that connection between the AIL clubs and the provinces was strained or maybe even lost in some cases, and that there wasn't that sort of sense of alignment. You fast forward a decade, and Munster, when they send out a press release for their squad update on a Monday or Tuesday, whatever it is, will make a virtue of the fact that we had 12 lads playing in the AIL over the weekend. They report on who these players are playing for, typically younger players. And we've seen it across all of the provinces in the AIL. Academy players, guys who aren't necessarily getting BNI Cup game time, are now featuring for the clubs again. Do you feel as though that connection has been strengthened, and even from a strategic standpoint, there is kind of a greater alignment now between AIL, provinces, IRFU, national team, and the AIL is no longer the kind of separate product that it felt like for a little while there recently?
Gavin, to be honest with you, I accept your point. There was a time where there seemed to be some divide there, and I'm just wondering, what did that coincide with that period in which professionalism came into the game? I think we were all paddling furiously in the dark, upstream or downstream or whatever, because nobody was absolutely certain what way things were going. Initially, you had professional players coming back into the club games, and then they went their separate ways. And I think that probably accounted for a lot of that. In terms of the academies and stuff, we wouldn't be overly connected to the Munster Academy. I'm speaking purely now for Cork Con, because the Munster Academy now is essentially based in Limerick, and the players are based up there. So that's working out well for them. But it's the look, I go back to what I was saying, that you know, we've had a wonderful academy, a juvenile section of, I think you said you're a product of yourself, Gavin.
An appalling player.
Hey, listen, we can cut the cloth to suit any measure. But, you know, the lads come back, whether it's after Christians, after Prez or whatever, Rockwell, whatever schools they go to, universities, our hope is they're going to come back, you know. But I go back to the point, I think that the quality of the game now is just amazing. And very on in players' careers, I think there's been a delineation made as to whether a player is going to go down the professional route or is going to stay with the club game. And that clearer line in the sand has made life easier for players as well. But there is a better relationship now. The AIL and the administrators and the IRFU, as was said earlier, Kevin Beggs and the lads, they do so well now. And it takes a little bit of tweaking all the time. But that's what making it a better product, I think. Yeah. You know, that recognition that, you know, it's not enough just to stand still. We'll keep working on this and make it better all the time. So, yeah, happy days. Long may it continue to improve. But if I had an ambition for the AIL, it would be that more time was given to it in all media platforms. And also, I don't believe that the people who turn... I think, what an incredible achievement. 80,000 turning up in Crow Park to support Leinster. Jeez, lads, that is something special. But if just even a percentage of those came to the Aviva next Sunday to watch Conn and Terenure, if it was anything like the two games that were played last week, I think that's serious bang for a buck. And in terms of rugby entertainment, it's as good as it gets. Really is.
Ian, I know you two will probably be nice to each other here, but are you confident going into Sunday? Can you even be confident going into an AIL final?
I think it's with just the week between the games, it's more like getting everybody fit and ready to go on Sunday and looking forward to the game really at the moment. You'd be very nervous about it, but it's a pleasure to be for the players to be in this position to going into the final. I think both teams will arrive there ready, and I'd say it's going to be a cracker.
John, I can tell you're buzzing anyway.
Look, it's been a while since we've been there. It's aspirational, as I said to you earlier, from the start of the season. It's where you want to be. A final is different, lads, isn't it? In terms of all season, we progress through an AIL and there are bonus points, there are losing points, there are this, that and the other, and the permutations for home semi-finals or whatever. But a final is a unique proposition. I agree. I think the two best teams in the league are probably there on merit. Nothing counts. Nothing that has gone before counts now. It's a neutral venue. Be great. A great day out. And I think the members of both clubs, and particularly the players, what a fantastic opportunity for those lads, each and every one of them, to play in the national stadium. It's some notch on the belt for them, really. And it's a wonderful recognition of the dedication and hard work that the clubs have provided for those players, but that ultimately the players themselves have gotten to the final. And I hope, whatever the result, everybody has a ball on Sunday, because it's going to be a cracker, lads.
Well put. John O'Mahony of Cork Constitution Rugby Club, thanks very much for joining us. Great to see you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Ian Morgan of Terenure College, go well at the weekend. Thanks a million to you as well.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. See you on Sunday, John. Thank you.
That was John O'Mahony from Cork Conn and Ian Morgan from Terenure. That is the Division 1A final at the Aviva Stadium on Sunday, 4 o'clock kickoff. If you can't make it to the stadium, it's live on TG Cahir as well. Before that, Murray, you have the women's final between... UL Bose and Railway Union. That's a quarter to two kickoff, and it's the culmination of the women's season as well. And as the boys mentioned, there are just so many promotion, relegation, playoffs, some massive games up and down the country. I love the fact that a lot of those games are happening on the Saturday as well, in terms of how it's structured for the showpiece, like the top division finals to be on the Sunday. It's a little bit similar to how the GA would do it, I guess, and that feels like kind of the centerpiece of the weekend on a national level. But you have all of these unbelievable significant games taking place on the eve of that as well. It's just going to be an absolutely smashing weekend. I'm buzzing for it after that chat.
Yeah, and it makes me jealous not to be somehow involved, because if you're playing your promotion playoff, or you stay up on the Saturday and you have a big night out and you're rolling over on the Sunday and you tune into the showpiece final as well, and that's on in the background, you're just having an epic weekend. And I think a lot of people are going to have epic weekends. The good thing, really cool thing about the, as the lad said, they were the top two teams in the league in the men's Division 1A. Just about. Clontarf were just a point behind Conn, and Lansdowne weren't far off either, and the semi-finals were close, but Terranure and Cork Conn were the two top clubs. And it's the same in the women's, Bowes and Railway Union. Bit more of a gap to, I think it's 10 points back to Old Belvedere, who were in third. So you have literally got the two top teams battling it out, and we know that this women's game is going to be of the highest quality. There's been some mismatches again this season, of course there has been, but I think some promising signs in there, and I think certain clubs will definitely feel like they've made a bit of progress and got some big wins. You know, Cook had one win, I know, so it was a tough season for them, but everyone else had notched up a few wins. And yeah, I think it's at a time when, I even despite what happened in Twickenham last weekend, I think there are green shoots with Irish women's rugby. There's talent coming through, players who've played the game for quite some time now, and you can see their kind of inherent skill levels, or the skill levels they worked on over for several years. So I think we're going to see lots more of that on Sunday. And as I said, to make it a showpiece with the two finals is really amazing. Loads of players, nearly across both teams, are going to be playing there for the first time. And what a cool thing to do in your career, a kind of lifetime achievement for lots of people to play in the Aviva and to have a big crowd there as well. So can't wait for that day. And the matchups in all the promotion relegation, and it's an interesting system when they went to that, where, you know, you've managed to stay up, but you still have to have that playoff with all the pressure riding on it to secure your place, or you get the glory of jumping up. And there's loads of good stories in there. I mentioned on Wednesday, was it, the, you know, you've Corinthians and Galwegians trying to jump up a league each, which again is good for that spread of quality around the country, that they're playing higher up potentially. But at the same time, UL Bowes and Dauphin are defending their patch with unbelievable pride and desperation. Gary Owen and Old Belvedere in the 1A promotion playoff, they both had really good wins in the semi-finals against Old Wesley and Shannon respectively. Old Belvo going down to Limerick and doing a really good job, so they'll be bouncing into that one. And yeah, Bangor Monkstown, as Ian mentioned, it's a massive, massive day for both those clubs, because you're right on the brink of it there, and the payoff is huge to go up and go on this continued adventure around the country in the All-Ireland League. Potentially for Monkstown would be massive, but Bangor will be putting every single ounce of energy and passion they have into that one. So I think it's going to be an absorbing weekend around the country, and it is cool that it is all over the place. You know, Queens and Barnhall is the other one I didn't mention, and everyone's got a
Dublin,
everyone's got an interest, don't they, every single corner of the country.
It's going to be absolutely magic. All of those fixtures that you mentioned take place at 2:30 on Saturday, which leaves your evening free if you're in the locality, even if you haven't found yourself with an association with one of those clubs, if it is local to you. As Ian made the point, it's worth just popping over. You don't have to be a member. Just watch a good game of rugby. Maybe you enjoy yourself. Maybe you decide to come back again at the start of next season, and you've got a full runway ahead to your Saturday evening before the two massive games that take place at the Aviva on Sunday. That's it for us for the moment, Ray.
That was fun. And I'm glad we got the two lads on who've been so thoroughly involved for such a long time in both their clubs, because we'll all be watching the players. And as the lad said, they're the key ones. They're the ones who decide what happens. But it's those people in the background who give so much of themselves to clubs in all sports, like who keep this going and give us this outlet in our lives, who are unbelievably important. And it's a big day out for all those people as well. So yeah, hope everyone who's involved and heading along just enjoys it. there'll be disappointment for some, there'll be glory for some, but yeah, I hope everyone has a brilliant day out.
Enjoy it, everyone. We will be back on Monday looking back over the two finals on Sunday and also the URC games that we haven't had a chance to preview now this weekend, but it's going to be a fun one. Back Monday for subscribers, the 42.e/extra. Visit that link and you can make your own mind up as to whether or not you join us, and you'll get full access to the full website, all of our features, analysis, interviews, plus podcasts like The Football Family, which is one of my personal favorites with Gav Cooney and the lads there. So yeah, the42.e/extra. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all of the rugby. Catch you Monday. Take care.
But the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Driver's got names to fill two double barrels. He spits out.